nurses stabbed, nurse addicts, monitoring pressure ulcers remotely, and we'll have a special interview segment today with the hosts of the new Nurse Practitioner podcast, Drs. Rachel Silva and Charmaine Baker. If that's what you're looking for, you found it. It's The Nursing Show. Hey, good day, and welcome to this week's episode of The Nursing Show, our podcast for nurses by nurses. I'm your host, Jamie Davis, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of you for checking out the show all year this year and look forward to next year. First up in this week's nursing news items, we'll look at one way that nurses can remotely monitor patients for pressure ulcers using a new wearable technology. Then in this week's tip segment, we have a special interview with the hosts of the Nurse Practitioner podcast, which can be found over at thenpshow.com or over at the promednetwork.com site as well. Join me as I chat with nurses and DNPs, Rachel and Charmaine, who host this innovative new show for advanced practice nurses. We'll have that and more later on in this episode, coming up after the news. Before we get to the news, though, I do want to make sure that you are following up on the information you get in the show each week. There are going to be links and things like that, and you can do that by heading over to nursingshow.com and checking out those links in each episode's show notes. There are also other articles and links there to things like our free Nursing Show mobile app, student nurse tips, and a whole lot more. So make sure you're following up and know how what I talk about in the show each week is applied to your own nursing scope of practice. If you want to get back in touch with me, maybe you have a question or something specific you want to ask me about, drop me an email. You can send those emails in to me directly at nursingshow@gmail.com. I love to hear from you, and I make sure I respond back to every email that comes in. So send me links to news items or things, interview suggestions. Maybe you know somebody that you'd like to get on the show. Whatever the case may be, I want to keep hearing from you, so keep those emails coming. That's it. I'll have some more contact information coming up later on in this episode, but let's get on into this week's news items coming right up in this final episode of 2014. First up in the news for nurses is a story from a week or so ago, but you may not have heard about it, so I thought I'd bring it to you here. Two nurses in an Oklahoma City hospital emergency room were stabbed recently when a patient suddenly pulled out a knife and started attacking them. Another ER staff member was injured in the assault as well. The man then barricaded himself in the waiting room, and then a police tactical team had to show up and root him out, taking him into custody. Now, he's been charged, of course, with assault with a deadly weapon and other charges in the attack, and two of the three injured nurses were treated and released pretty quickly, but the third did remain in the hospital for a few days in serious but stable condition. This is just another of the dangers we all face in the healthcare field, and it's another reason we must report all potential assaults or dangerous situations we encounter. While not all patients are carrying knives with an inclination to go on a stabbing spree, there are those who get physical with us while they're being treated. We, as nurses, are in positions that put us at risk for assault from our patients all the time, and we should have the right to feel safe and secure while doing our jobs. Some of these things are not going to be stopped, I get that. But what I want is two things. First, I want to make sure that all of you are aware of your surroundings and take steps to protect yourselves when necessary. Secondly, I want the laws to make crimes against nurses treated like as seriously as an assault on police officers, for instance. When these assaults happen, they must be dealt with as a serious breach of trust between a patient and a caregiver. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you, so shoot me an email, leave a comment here on the comments below this page. Let the whole community know your thoughts about nurse safety issues. I do look forward to hearing from you, and I want to see what you guys have to say about this topic. Next up, let's take a look at a new pressure ulcer monitor that attaches to your patients and coordinates and alerts you when they're not turned on the regular basis. They might need help turning or repositioning themselves. The LEAF patient monitoring system intelligently automates turning schedules for large groups of patients, and it prioritizes specific patients' turning needs. The wireless sensor triaxial accelerometer accurately monitors patient position, so it can do left, right, forwards, backwards, and it alerts you when assisted turns are necessary, confirming that also that adequate turns are being performed. It also ensures that sufficient tissue depressurization occurs between turns. The LEAF system works like this. You plug an antenna unit into one of the outlets in the patient's room, like a nightlight. Put the LEAF patient sensor on their chest. It's like an EKG sticker. Then you just register the patients through the user interface on a computer and set up the turning parameters you want to use. The system then automatically starts coordinating and optimizing your patient turning schedules. From a patient's standpoint, the LEAF sensor is lightweight and unobtrusive. They are able to move around, they don't have wires attached to them or bulky belt sensors, and they can actually take a bath or shower with it on. For us nurses, though, the LEAF system offers a high degree of configurability, and it really accommodates lots of different workflows. Caregivers can choose turning intervals, tissue decompression times, and much more from the computerized system. And I think this kind of sensor is actually a great idea and could be coupled with other sensor types in the future to give a one-stop sensor package eventually. So I'm going to keep track of this and other developments like it in the future here on the show, and I might even try and track down someone from this company to see if they would like to come on the show and talk about pressure ulcers and their system in person. So I'll let you know if that comes up. But in the meantime, let me know if you'd like to see more of this type of thing in future episodes here at The Nursing Show. Finally, in the news this week, I found an interesting article on the challenges faced by one state in tracking nurses who might be addicted to drugs, like painkillers. Apparently, the nurses in the facilities in Virginia are not required to be drug tested before they start work or submit to random drug testing while they are on the job. They are apparently not considered safety-sensitive workers in the law there. Some hospitals do have these programs in place, but it's managed on a facility-by-facility basis. Now, the article I have is written from the public's perspective, and it quotes that patient advocacy groups want more disclosure of nurses and other healthcare professionals that have substance abuse problems. These groups complain that healthcare organizations representing these healthcare workers are actually attempting to stop disclosure and are enabling the continued abuse and potential for patient harm. I disagree. I think that this, like all addiction issues, is a healthcare problem that can be treated and should not be disclosed as long as the employee in question complies with a work-approved treatment program. If they're seeking treatment and they're clean and not using, they should not be a danger to anyone and shouldn't have their practice and career impacted negatively. If they refuse treatment or they fail to comply with the treatment program out there, there are systems in place to revoke or suspend licensure. Anything further is just a witch hunt and assumes that hospitals and other healthcare employers are knowingly letting addicts using drugs continue to work and see patients. This, I think, is ridiculous. I'm sure you have an opinion, though, so shoot me an email about it. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com or leave a comment on the page here where you see this article. I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this issue. I'm sure you have them, so get back in touch with me. I got the opportunity to get together over a Skype video call recently with Dr. Charmaine Baker and Dr. Rachel Silva, both DNP nurse practitioners, to talk about their new nursing podcast called The Nurse Practitioner Show. You can find their show over at thenpshow.com or over at promednetwork.com. You should definitely check it out. I chat with Rachel and Charmaine about why they started their show, who it's for, and what future episodes might hold for their audience. So check out that interview. It's coming right up next. Rachel and Charmaine, I want to welcome you to The Nursing Show. I'm so excited. I get to have two nurse practitioners on the show. I'm so passionate about what you guys are doing. And you have a podcast too, which is awesome. So I always start off and ask the question, and I guess I'll start with you, Charmaine. Why did you want to become a nurse?
Well, I've always, and I know this may sound like a typical answer, but I've always really enjoyed helping people. And I actually, my first love was not nursing. Surprise. My first love was music, and I wanted to be a musician. But everybody knows that musicians just starting out, oh, well, you might be starving. So I really needed to get something that I was also passionate about that would actually help me feed my family. So I got into nursing, became a nursing assistant initially, and then went on to be a registered nurse. And then I loved it so much, went back and became a nurse practitioner. and then went back again for a doctorate in nursing.
That's awesome.
Yes, thank you.
And Rachel, how about you?
Well, my mother is a nurse. So she's the one who inspired my interest in nursing. Initially, I did not want to be a nurse because she was a nurse manager and was always at the hospital and covering for, you know, sick calls and doing scheduling and, you know, situations like that. But when I was 14, I decided I wanted to be a nurse. And so then I did some extra courses and skipped the 11th grade and graduated a year early and went straight in and got my associate's degree first. And then I went on and got my bachelor's and my master's as a family nurse practitioner and also a doctorate in nursing practice like Dr. Baker. And we're both from Chatham University.
Okay. So is that how you met?
No.
It's just a happy coincidence.
Yeah, a happy coincidence.
So are you both in a family primary care specialty, or Charmaine, do you do something different?
I am in family practice, but I'm primarily working with geriatrics.
Okay.
I have a house call practice that I established in 2004 here in New Orleans. And it's been going on now for 10 years.
Wow.
And I see primarily patients who are elderly who can't get out to see a PCP provider, nurse practitioner, doctor. And it's really, really been a great blessing for my community, particularly after Katrina and now. So, yes.
You know, I know so many paramedics and folks in the emergency services side of things that were involved with the response down in Katrina and around that area. And I still applaud all the people that stuck around that community and helped rebuild things. And New Orleans is near and dear to my heart because that's where my wife and I went on our honeymoon. And it's one of those places we definitely want to go back and visit again together. I've been back a couple of times with conferences, but not with her. So that's one of our future projects plans to head back.
Yeah, you got to bring her back.
I definitely do. I definitely do. So tell us a little bit about how you two met and what gave you the idea to start the nurse practitioner show.
And you're on, Rachel.
Well, I don't know. How did we meet?
No, Facebook?
We met on Facebook.
And, oh, awesome.
Yeah, through a family nurse practitioner networking group.
Right.
And then we both go to the American Association of Nurse Practitioner conferences.
Right.
And so that's where we officially met face to face.
And that was few months ago. That was in October.
Yeah. So I feel like, wow, I've known Dr. Baker for quite a while, but face to face, it was just in October.
Yeah. Wow. So it's been quite a short time, and yet you've got a great show put together already. Is that something you had done beforehand, before you met face to face?
I was just beginning to think about doing a podcast, and I published the first episode in October, and then I actually contacted Dr. Baker because I wanted to interview her for the show, and she liked the idea so much, we're now working together as co-hosts.
I think that's fantastic, and you know, you guys have covered some great topics already, and even in the youth of your show. What are some of the things that have been your favorite things that you've talked about on the show so far?
Well, I guess one that's near and dear to my heart was the first episode that we did, because I see patients every day, sometimes 10, 20 times a day, that you know, have a cold or sniffle or the flu, and they are concerned whether or not they need antibiotics. So that was the reason I did that for my first podcast.
Okay.
To educate on antibiotic stewardship.
Oh, that's a hot topic for me, too. In fact, you know, when I go to our family practitioner on occasion and I'll say, I mean, I've had this cold and I'm just feeling miserable. I just needed to check in. I know it's probably viral. And it'll be like, well, I can write you a prescription for antibiotics. I'm like, wait a minute. No, I didn't ask for a prescription. Don't do that.
We want to do everything we can to help. Sometimes too much is too much, you know.
I understand, you know, people are constantly inundated with requests for a medication solution to something that is most likely a viral illness. And it's such a challenge to say no to them when that's what they want. And it's hard because if you don't give them something, then they don't feel like you're meeting their needs.
Right. And then they've paid for a copay. You know, they've taken off work and they've come in the office and they feel like they're leaving without anything in their hand.
That's a challenge. I applaud you for having that episode out there. I think that's fantastic. What about future topics for the two of you? Is there something that you're looking forward to collaborating on in the future?
Well, for me, I'm looking forward to a lot of interviews from some very dynamic and innovative nurse practitioners and other clinicians. So perhaps you, Jamie, would be on the show.
I'd love to. I'd love to
be on our show, but you know, in all seriousness, I do plan on interviewing a lot of nurse practitioners and other clinicians, just talking about their contribution to the nursing profession. And I already have one lined up already. Hopefully we can get the interview done this weekend sometimes, like maybe in a couple of days. So let's hope that turns out. If not, maybe next week. So it's going to be coming up soon.
Cool. Mm-hmm. That you know, it's great to hear that there's another nursing podcast out there. Some of them come and go, and I've seen a lot of shows that I'm hoping are going to have the sticking power. And it seems like you guys have a great formula with your show, your website, and everything else. What is it that you think is the biggest challenge you face as a podcaster, not just as a nurse practitioner, but as a podcaster?
I think that is learning the different technology for producing a podcast and doing the editing. It's a lot more time consuming than I think either one of us really realized until you're actually doing it. So then you really have a true appreciation for people like you who've been doing this for almost 10 years.
Right.
Well, when I tell people what I do, and even other podcasters, you know, a lot of guys get on their shows and they're talking about current events. They've already, read a newspaper article about what they want to talk about, and they kind of know what they want to say, and they just sit down and do the show. But when you do a show in a healthcare arena, you need to do your homework. You need to make sure you know what you're talking about so that you can speak from a position of authority, and that you do it right. And then, of course, all the back end editing. I tell people 6 to 8 hours for one of my shows with all the prep work and all the editing and posting and everything that goes on. And they just shake, they're mind boggled by it. They don't understand why I spend so much time. But I think that's part of the healthcare process in part of the show. You just want to make sure that your preparation is dead on target.
Right. And I think when it's something that you're very passionate about, even though it's very time consuming, it is something that you really enjoy and have a passion for. So you in a sense enjoy doing that, even though it can take away some time for some other activities. And then you know that you're helping to make a difference in nursing and educating about healthcare.
So who do you see as your perfect audience member? Is it just nurse practitioners? Do you see all nurses and nursing students as part of your audience? Or even the public and the lay public out there?
I think that our conversations, well, if I can go first, I think that our conversations will be appropriate for anyone. Of course, nurses, nurse practitioner students, but also the general public. We're not just going to be talking, interviewing other NPs. I mean, we're going to also talk about their topics that may be appropriate I hear a little bit of feedback.
I hear a little bit of echo, too.
Yeah. So talking about, various topics, for instance, when certain months roll around, such as October, we'll, talk about breast cancer awareness and, various topics that are appropriate for that month. So I think that everyone will be able to get something from our show, but especially nurse practitioners.
That's great. What about the future of nurse practitioners and advanced practice nursing? There's so many things going on with healthcare right now. And it just seems to me like so many places are still dragging their feet about giving nurse practitioners the ability to practice to the extent of their ability and their scope. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that it's very important for nurse practitioners and nurses to be involved as in their organizations because they help to support the legislative changes. And I forgot the percentage, but a lot of nurses and nurse practitioners aren't members of their professional organizations that help to support and financially support and lobby for the best interest of healthcare and promoting the nurse practitioner profession and the future of nursing as the Institute of Medicine had desires for nursing.
That's such a huge thing. I'm a big proponent of becoming a member of your professional associations. I mean, I belong to a healthcare journalist organization, even though most of them aren't healthcare professionals in any regard. They're just, I won't say just journalists, but they're journalists that are interested in healthcare and cover healthcare. But, you know, it is important to be part of organizations like that. I think that that's how you get ideas. That's how you have important networking. And then, of course, the connection to the legislative agenda so that you know where you stand and what things are coming up in your state that might change the way you practice.
Right. Correct.
So, you know, what's the next step? Is your show going to expand? Are you looking to do anything in particular to reach out to audience members? I know you've got a Facebook or a page on your website. It's at thenpshow.com. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah.
Excellent. And do you have a Facebook page?
Yes.
You do. Okay. I kind of looked around briefly, but then I had to get down here and record, so I hadn't had a chance to really dig into it. So, well, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. Do you have any messages to the people, the nurses out there that are thinking about advancing into nurse practitioners positions, going back to school and digging into that study again and advancing their career? What would you have to say? I guess we'll start with you, Charmaine. What your thoughts are?
I would just like to say it's never too late to go back to school. I waited 10 years before I went back to get my master's in nursing and, you know, finish the family nurse practitioner from Tennessee State University. And people often say, do you have any regrets? And I would say my most, I'd say memorable regret is that I didn't go back sooner.
Wow.
Yes, because I guess I wasn't ready. You know, timing is everything. I had worked in almost every arena in nursing, trauma, ER, I'd done PACU, SICU, MI, just everything, well baby, OB, you know. So I had just done about every specialty, and I just decided that I really wanted a little more autonomy. And at the same time, I wanted to do more. I didn't want to just be in a position of receiving orders. I wanted to actually start making some healthcare decisions or help my patients make better healthcare decisions for themselves by being in more of a position of authority, if you will. You know, mm-hmm. So you have to go back to school to get that education to be able to assess, diagnose, and treat disease states. So that's what I wanted. So I guess the take-home message is it's never too late to go back. Just go back and do it, especially nowadays because they have a lot of online programs. Mm-hmm. Whereas you can take the coursework online and do the clinical practicum in your state. So that's something that's appealing and can be appealing to a lot of people.
That's true. And there's lots more opportunities out there all the time. I see them opening up everywhere. Rachel, what are your thoughts?
I didn't realize the challenge it is to get your, obtain your own preceptors. That is, it's hard to find a nurse practitioner that is able or willing to precept you during your clinical. So sometimes you have to make multiple calls and hours of calls, sometimes cold calls, to find somebody that you could have clinical with. Otherwise, you have to delay your, you know, that semester.
Wow. But you were able to find it, and there are.
Yeah.
And the good news is that with more nurse practitioners, there'll be more people to precept.
Right. Good.
That's fantastic. Well, I will have links in the show notes to your site, to your Facebook page, and everything else that you guys have connected. So if you have something else you want me to connect to, make sure you shoot me an email. But I just want to thank you again for taking some time out of your very busy schedules to come here on The Nursing Show and talk to us about your great podcast, The Nurse Practitioner Show.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you. It was an honor to be on your show.
That's going to close out this week's episode of The Nursing Show. I want to thank all of you for checking out the program this week. Make sure you follow up, though, on all of the information you picked up in this episode. Head over to nursingshow.com and check out the episode show notes. There's a link right there at the top of the page. In there are listings for all of the episodes of The Nursing Show. From the most recent one at the top, you can scroll down and go all the way back to the very first episode. But I want you to get the full information there with links to other resources so that you understand how to apply what you hear on the show to your own nursing practice or studies. If you want to get back in touch with me, shoot me an email. You can send that in to nursingshow@gmail.com. I respond back to every email that comes in, and I want to hear from you. So send me your comments, your questions, suggestions, news links. Help support the Nursing Show community with your input. You can also get the Nursing Show email newsletter. There's a link and form right on the right-hand side of the Nursing Show site. So fill out that short form and we'll send you the links to each episode's show notes directly to your email inbox each week. You can also connect with me on social media sites. I'm available there under the handle PodMedic. So you can find me there under twitter.com/PodMedic and facebook.com/PodMedic. So friend or follow me. You can also become a member of the community over on Facebook by liking the Nursing Show Facebook page at facebook.com/nursingshow. Click the like button there and join the conversation on that page. I post other nursing and healthcare articles and pictures on the Nursing Show site throughout the course of each week and over at the Nursing Show page, so check it all out. That's it for me. I'm your host, Jamie Davis. I'll be back with more episodes here of The Nursing Show. Remember, it comes out every Friday for you, so you can wrap up your nursing week. In the meantime, please remember to stay safe and stay tuned here to The Nursing Show.